This is the Generations Broadcast. It's Kevin Swanson with you. Also, Bill Jack from Worldview Academy with me today. And the coronavirus, the COVID-19 world-shaking event that has just happened, is calling pastors to make statements and to effectively bring the Word of God to bear in the present day. And that's what pastors, preachers, prophets, in the broad sense of the term, need to be doing. They need to bring God's word to bear and apply in the present day. And we have two examples of that in this edition of the program, John Piper and N.T. Wright,
now,
taking
by
different
prophet,
perspectives.
You're not talking about somebody who foretells the future, but foretells the truth, right?
That's right.
Applies biblical teaching to current situations.
A word in season. Apples of gold, platters of silver. Based first and foremost in God's truth, the Word of God. Well, over the weekend, YouTube pulled John Piper's latest book, Coronavirus in Christ, but it was the audiobook was back up the next day. So it was down, it was up. There's been a significant amount of controversy over this as well. 22 military chaplains are pushing for a court-martial for a senior Army chaplain who sent the copy of Coronavirus in Christ to 36 other chaplains. And he's up for a court-martial. Okay. They're pressing for a court-martial.
On what basis?
Well, here's the basis. Colonel Moon Kim, evidently a Korean from cultural derivation, Colonel Moon Kim was accused of subscribing to the ultra-conservative Reformed Evangelical Christian doctrine of John Piper. So that was it. That was the accusation.
Oh.
I could get in trouble, too, from the same guys. But apparently the rub seems to be Piper's reference to the sin of homosexual intercourse as an example of a specific sin that would warrant the specific judgment of God.
Right. That would bring God's judgment against a nation or against a people group.
Right. Which, by the way, we've gotten into some trouble over that before as well. Now, we have said in the past, and we say it again, that we don't assign a one-to-one, a judgment of God to one particular sin, but Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 6, really seems to bring out the necessity of repentance in the face of a social judgment or a judgment that is socially, that has achieved a degree of social awareness. That is when the tower fell on those people in Siloam, Jesus brings out the lesson. He says, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. So the message of repentance, the message of God's judgment warranting us to consider our sins and repent of our own sins seems to be a lesson that our Lord drives home, and I believe open season for any of us pastors to apply as well in any given circumstance.
Yeah, I mean, would you hesitate? Would any of those chaplains hesitate to speak out against thievery?
I'm guessing they would.
You think?
I think they would. I think they would say it's wrong to steal things. It's wrong to rob banks.
They would not hesitate to speak out against it. No.
No.
And if the chaplain, chief chaplain, Moon Kim, if he gave him a book on that, they wouldn't bring him up on charges. Okay?
That's right.
Okay. What about the sin of adultery?
Oh, that's a politically incorrect sin. That's still wrong.
Oh, what about abortion?
Probably allow for a little bit of that. But why?
Because now there are certain culturally appropriate sins.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happens.
That's what's happened.
Right. Whatever the zeitgeist has approved of, whatever the humanists of the day have approved of, is going to be acceptable in the minds of those who are kowtowing to the age, those who are compromising to the age and want to endorse Ahab and whatever Ahab is doing, because Ahab happens to be the one who is in charge and the one who is dictating what is right and wrong, or defining it at the highest levels of the zeitgeist, whether it be the cultural level, the university level, the education, academic level, or the political level.
Or the military level.
Or the military level, yeah. Whatever is determining ethics, the right and wrong versus God's word, will be evidently the authority to which these chaplains will kowtow. Well, friends, we're going to get into this in a little more depth in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Stay with us. Hello, dads. Come this August, it'll be about time to get out of the house and up into the clear mountain air of the Colorado Rockies with your sons. It almost goes without saying that dads and sons don't get enough time together, and what would be better than to spend the time in the Word, in the mountains, along with some good fellowship with a couple of hundred brothers in Christ from around the country. Guys, let's get our sons out of the house and back into God's grand creation. We'll turn off the electronic media, recharge in the Word, and renew relationships. And fill up your tank with some faith talks, encouragement for the battle, and a refocus on the centrality of God. This year, we're bringing Mike Snavely back, our best creationist speaker for fathers and sons. Bill Roach and yours truly also bringing some talks. Come on down to our annual Colorado Father Son Retreat at Sky Ranch Camp in the heart of the Rocky Mountains, August 27th to the 30th. The price is only $229 for dads and $139 for sons right now. That includes all meals and board. It's 4 days of fellowship, teaching, and adventure, including a rifle shooting range, bowling, water slides, indoor racquetball court, world-class recreation center, rock climbing, and a whole lot more. For more information, check out ColoradoFatherSon.com. That's ColoradoFatherSon.com. And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. And Pastor John Piper has produced a book called Coronavirus and Christ, in which he has taken a stand for the gospel. And really, the summary of this is that he's calling men and women to repentance. Here's a quote. "The coronavirus is God's thunderclap call for all of us to repent and realign our lives with the infinite worth of Christ." In other words, he's calling men and women to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, as prophet, as priest, as king. He's calling people to repentance, and he picks the sins of a nation. And of course, that's where he gets in trouble. If he had been arguing against bank robbing, if he'd been arguing against kidnapping, if he'd been arguing against cannibalism, it's possible he would have gotten away with it. But to mention the sin of homosexuality is the ultimate crime in the present day.
Yeah, it's the sin du jour. It's a sin of the day.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting what Jeremiah says. As John Piper and the chaplain that endorsed John Piper's work are in deep trouble because of this. Some, 22 chaplains have raised an issue against this book and against the chaplain that endorsed the book and sent it off to some 36 other chaplains in the U.S. Army. Jeremiah 6:14 speaks of this, "For from the least of them to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. From prophet to priest, all practice deceit. They have dressed the wound of my people with very little care, saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no peace. Were they ashamed of the abomination they committed? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not even know how to blush. So they will fall among the fallen. When I punish them, they will collapse, saith the Lord." Speaking of the prophets that refuse to address the sin of the day, the sin du jour, the sin that does so easily beset us, the sin that needs to be mentioned, and the sin from which we need to repent. Think of the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, as they would preach. You know, in Acts 2, I would guess the most unpopular sin to preach against some 40 days after the killing of the Messiah would have been
the killing of the Messiah.
The killing of the Messiah. You know, think about a more politically incorrect sin to mention right before the plate glass window of the Sanhedrin on the temple grounds. What would have been the more controversial message? I can't think of one. Can you?
No. And that's why the Sanhedrin rushed at Stephen.
Oh, yes.
They gnashed their teeth. Mm-hmm. They gnashed their teeth at him. That's why the Sanhedrin said of Peter and John, "We can't deny a miracle has occurred, but we can't let these people keep talking in this name, preaching in this name, because they're going to bring his blood on our head. We got to shut them up."
John Piper says the coronavirus is God's thunderclap call for all of us to repent and realign our lives with the infinite worth of Christ. Beautifully stated, and that's John Piper for you. He presents the message well. And yet, here's an article from N.T. Wright published in Time magazine. By the way, did I mention that John Piper did not get an article in Time magazine?
And he got booted for a short time off YouTube, right?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
See, it seems to me that blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Seems to me there's a fair amount of persecution that happens to those who will stand for truth.
Yeah, because you're not going to get everybody clapping. There's not going to be a huge thunderclap of approval when you speak truth about God's thunderclap to the culture.
Your back is going to look something like what Jesus' back looked like after the Roman soldiers were done with him. I think that's what's going to happen, Bill. You know why? Because the servant is not above his master.
Right.
Any of this. N.T. Wright writes an article for Time magazine entitled "Christianity Offers No Answers About the Coronavirus. It's Not Supposed to." In other words, Christianity has nothing to say about the coronavirus. It's not supposed to. And I could give you the whole article. I'll just read part of it. He says, "Perhaps what we need is to recover the biblical tradition of lament." Now, again, there's some things that he says that are right. It's the way N.T. Wright is.
Yeah.
There's some things that Wright says that are right. And so he says we need to get back to lament.
Is that not the best lie, though, is coated in a bit of truth so that you swallow it?
I know. That's why you've got to... You got to read the lines, like
gotta,
all the lines.
You got to sift it
not
through the Word of God.
Just between the lines, but you got to read all the lines.
Yeah.
And then sift it by the Word of God. He says, you know, we need to lament. I think that's going to help. He says, lament is what happens when people ask why and don't get an answer. It's where we get to when we move beyond our self-centered worry about our sins and look more broadly at the suffering of the world. His major point is we don't want to be lamenting over our sins. That's his main point. But about the evil that's going on in the world. So that's what he's saying, is get away from yourself and your own hearts and look at these other. He refers to the Psalms. He says these poems often come out into the light by the end with a fresh sense of God's presence and hope, not to explain the trouble, but to provide reassurance within it. It is no part of the Christian vocation to be able to explain what's happening and why. In fact, it is part of the Christian vocation not to be able to explain and to lament instead.
You know, in one sense, there's a thread of that that I can agree with, and that is that the one question that we always ask God, and it's a self-centered question, and maybe that's why he's saying get away from yourself, and that is the question why. Like, why me, God? Why me? Why are these bad things happening to me? God is not obligated to answer the question why. That's the one question he never answers. Because he is God and we are not. And it is not our place to question why. Our place is to obey and walk by faith, understanding that he is in control, that he is the sovereign God who orders things for our good eventually and Amen. For his glory ultimately.
Amen. That's true. But at the same time, we have something to say.
Yes, we must have
something to say.
We can address why is there evil in the world
mm-hmm.
because of sin, and we can offer hope.
Mm-hmm.
So there's enough in there that I can nod my head in agreement, and then I have to stop and start shaking my head in disagreement.
Well, his big point of the article is we need to lament because God laments. But his other point is we lament over the evil, the coronavirus, the evil that
general
is in the world
evil.
Generally.
Just a general evil, but not about our specific evil.
But the problem is that's not what the psalmist does. He pulls the psalms out of context and says here, you know, the psalmist laments and then he's comforted. That's true. But what does he lament over?
He laments
his own sin.
Yeah, thee and thee alone have
I sinned and done this evil in thy
yes.
sight. That's Psalm 51, yes. And Psalm 32, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Well, there you have it. You know, he goes directly to his sin, confesses his own sin. This seems to me, this article seems to me to be just the opposite of what G.K. Chesterton said. Do you remember the letter that G.K. Chesterton wrote to the London Times? When the London Times asked the question, what's the problem with the world? And they'd asked the question of a number of leading intellects of the day. G.K. Chesterton wrote back, dear editor, I am. Yeah. Sincerely yours. It seems to me that this is just the opposite. This is not the humbling of ourselves. This is not the realization of the pride and the lust and all of these wicked things that exhibit itself in perversion, homosexuality, and abortion and such, but the things that reside in our own hearts. When we see the sins of others and the sins of the nation, we should respond with, I recognize that. That the root of that thing is in me too. And then there's a time of lament, but it's not a lament over all of the evil of all these other things, but the evil that is with me. And then I confess my sins unto God and he forgives me. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, should we draw this conclusion from the present crisis? And I believe from Luke chapter 6, we absolutely must. Because Jesus said, you have a crisis. You have the destruction of all these people at the Tower of Siloam. What do? The response Jesus said is this, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. And that's the message that he should have put into that article.
Was that the theme of the National Day of Prayer? If my people who are called by my name will confess their
sins? It was brought out this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's, we start with ourselves. We start individually. And then it's also the church gets on its knees. And then you see a change in the nation. It is the opposite of the publican and the Pharisee, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the publican said, oh, I'm the one. And the self-righteous person said, I'm so glad I'm not like those other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And in the end, we are comforted. So blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And I think we need to bring that in as well. But friends, we mourn over our own sin and then realize that we have been forgiven individually by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God on the cross. And by his resurrection, we rise up and we walk in newness of life. And so there is so much hope in the gospel for us. But I would have loved it if N.T. Wright had presented it in Time magazine. Praise God for John Piper, who presented it on the media that is getting around. And thankfully, many are hearing the gospel through Pastor John Piper. Well, friends, that wraps up this edition of the Generations broadcast. You can email me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.